Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, January 7th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Oh, today is Wednesday. We have Wendy Wilson joining us here in just a little bit, so a lot of things to talk about. Certainly some interesting things happening in France. And we'll talk about that after the first break. First, let's get to the gold prices today. You have gold currently right now down $7, not bad, $1,213. Silver was trying to get ahead, currently at $1,665. I'll check on that in a few minutes to see which direction that is heading. Platinum is down three. It's flat, but it's not going to be there for long. Platinum is down three at $1,222, along with palladium down 11 at $795. U.S. dollar, 0.26 at 92.02. And crude oil was saved a little bit today, 0.52 to the upside, 48.45. The paper markets today came on strong, stayed there all day, fluctuated a little bit. It was like 225, dropped to like 180, and, you know, popped right back up. 212 on the day, 17,584. Yeah, the NASDAQ, 57 points to the upside, 46.50. The S&P 500 up 23 at 2025. And the 10-year yield is still trending down. 0.01 at 1.95%. And the minutes were released today on the Fed meeting in December. We'll talk about that also after the break. We have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Hello, Al. And how was your holiday?
It's just
holiday,
great.
What's a holiday? Same thing when people say, how was your weekend? That's my standard answer. What's a weekend?
Okay. Well, we got lots to talk about health-wise today. We got a couple of topics if we have time. First, I wanted to talk about the history of longevity because I'm serious.
Interesting title. Longevity.
Well, I'm not going to go back too far in time. I just want to go back 200 years, okay? Because if you compare what happened 200 years ago to today, you can learn a lot. You know, back in the 1800s, it was rare for people to live past their 50s. And, you know, when I was growing up, my mom, my grandparents would say, well, you know, they probably, you know, died early because of hard work. Well, so if I want to ask then, who's taking the credit now for us living into our 70s and beyond? Well, health experts say it's scientific medicine who has given us the invention of better medicines and treatments. But other people think it's because of better hygiene and nutrition. But 200 years ago, Al and Melody, a little sneeze or a cough raised a lot of concern because, you know, well, you know, respiratory disease was the number one killer in the 1800s. Tuberculosis killed 1 in 4 Americans. And in the 1800s, this disease was comparable to the AIDS epidemic. So tuberculosis wasn't deadly to people who had real strong, healthy immune systems because their immune systems prevented the disease from developing and growing. Now, malaria was another concern brought into the Americas in the 16th and 17th centuries. And parasites were also a concern, but some seemed more severe in other countries like Africa and Arabia. And some health researchers feel that it was the treatment to remove these parasitical worms using a splint stick that inspired the caduceus medical professional symbol with the staff and the snake. Now, plagues like smallpox and bubonic were also another issue because it was brought in by the boatloads with all the immigrants from Europe. But I want you to notice something, Al and Melanie. The leading causes of death 200 years ago was either viruses, bacterial, or parasitical infections. But that's not the case today, is it?
No, we're going to probably see more heart attacks, stroke, cancer.
Yep. Well, actually, the leading causes of death today are, number one, pharmaceutical drugs, heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. So deaths by viruses or bacteria really don't hold a match to the death statistics we're seeing by prescription medications. So they really don't compare to either the deaths by war. So death by pharmaceuticals has created a catchphrase, actually. It's called Pharmageddon. And so if you look at a 30-year period between 1976 and 2006, it tells us that 62 million Americans died and their death certificate cited medications as the cause. And that was a report in the Journal of General Internal Medicine in 2010.
And 62 million over how long a period?
76 to 2006, 30 years.
All right.
Okay. So now the Baltimore Sun reported also that 7 of the top 10 pharmaceutical drugs are used by 12th graders nationwide. So when you add all the drug addictions, the recreational drugs, you can see that we have really, I think, traded relatively healthy life of 50 years for another 25 years on top of that with drug dependency and no cures. So many prescription drugs are made from substances that are classified as either sedatives, tranquilizers, or poisons. So any drug that has a heavy therapeutic use will increase the risk of death by doctor. Let me read you this quote by a Jeffrey Corbin. He's professor of medicine at West Virginia University School of Medicine in Morgantown. He says, many prescription drugs really are every bit as powerful and addictive and dangerous as heroin. Chemically
speaking. Well, I understand. And they're perhaps even more profitable.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the culinary herbs are used to preserve and enhance the taste of foods, and medicinal herbs are used to enhance the function of our metabolism to protect us from disease. So when I read in the Bible, herbs are here for the service of man in Psalms 104, I tend to believe that. So I look at it as God's promise that we can empower our physical bodies, our immune system, and fend off a lot of these diseases that we have today. So, but I want to shift gears real quick. If we have time, I want to cover this really interesting topic, vaccines or superstitions, and that's a quote by a medical doctor. Are you familiar with Dr. Anthony Morris at all?
Nope, doesn't ring a bell.
Well, he passed away last year, so we lost a really good doctor, and he's really important because he's one of the inside doctors. He worked in the field of virology, And he actually was in charge of overseeing a lot of vaccines being made. And he went and stepped out and declared the truth about vaccines. He called them superstitions. He says there's no scientific research which supports the medical protections or benefits science claims vaccines to provide. Now, he was on Phil Donahue. Remember Phil Donahue when that show was on?
Yes, I do.
Okay. He was on the Phil Donahue show in 1976. And he was a guest, and he was telling folks about the dangers of the swine flu vaccine that the government was trying to get everybody to take. He told viewers that it causes allergic and neurological reactions, and he told people don't get it. And at that time, Dr. Morris headed the FDA's vaccine control program. He was their chief physician. Okay. So he concluded after 10 years of work in his field that, and he had lots of access to government research, he said there was, quote, no evidence that provides that immunization of children does any good, but it does more harm than good. So,
well, it does,
you know,
good
Dr. Morris,
for the profit margin of the corporations that sell the pharmaceuticals, though, doesn't, right. That's what medicine is all about these days, isn't it?
Right. And he
generating
did another
a profit. Who cares
yep.
about healing people?
Right. Well, in 2002, he did another interview, and he was saying that there's some real ungodly secrets that are zealously guarded because of the sanctity of vaccines. He says they're the most prized instrument. He conveyed in no uncertain terms that the FDA is not run by honorable people. And scientists and researchers, he said, that work for pharmaceutical corporations know there's absolutely no evidence to support the health benefits of vaccines, including the influenza vaccines. So according to Dr. Morris, they have no effectiveness in preventing or mitigating disease. And he said there was a dirty little secret about the swine flu vaccine. I had no idea. I knew it created neurological problems, but I didn't know that the pharmaceutical industry made the vaccine for the pig farm industry, for pig farmers. But the pig farmers were a little suspicious when they were given a demonstration of the vaccine and the pigs collapsed and died. So they weren't going to buy the vaccine to give it to their whole herd of pigs and lose everything, right?
They're so telling us is that people are deemed to be dumber than pigs. I mean, the pigs and the pig farmers, they get it. This stuff is dangerous. The public, nope, haven't figured it out.
Well, and here's what Dr. Morris says. He says there was a drug firm rep that said, well, if the swine breeders won't inject it into their animals, our only other market is to inject it into people. So what they did, according to Dr. Morris, is because they were going to lose an $80,000 million campaign when the pig farmers wouldn't buy the drug. So they launched through the CDC a swine flu pandemic, which was fictitious because Dr. Morris said that there's not one case of swine flu in America and it's not been tested on any swine flu cases. Therefore, the vaccine can't possibly be effective, right? And he said this on TV, and of course, he was promptly fired, right, from the FDA.
Yep.
So he did some real damage. So what do you suppose the medical cartel had to do for damage control? Well, they wheeled out Walter Cronkite and President Gerald Ford, and with a combined effort persuaded the American public to submit to the inoculation of swine flu. All the while, CBS refused to do any rebuttal of the dangerous ingredients that Dr. Morris said was in the vaccine. Now, of course, when they did this, Congress went ahead and picked up the tab for the promotion of this pandemic inoculation program, $135 million. Medical cartel didn't pay a dime.
Yeah.
And so no studies. Here's where it kind of hit a snag, though. The insurance companies back then had a little bit of backbone, and they said, hey, we're not going to pay for any of our patients, our customers, to get that swine flu since it's never been tested. There's no research on it. So what do? They get Gerald Ford back on to TV to do a public service announcement. Don't worry. Go to your public health department and get a free swine flu shot. So they bypassed the insurance companies that way.
Who paid for the free swine flu shot?
Well, that's $135 million. And here's where everything was great until casualties started rolling in. $1.3 billion in damages from victims paralyzed from the drug, the vaccine. Yep. And so to deflect any blame, the drug cartel said that this is a new disease. It's called Guillain-Barré syndrome. But it was
it's
from
like it's all in your mind or something. You just think you're sick, but you're not really sick. I took a vaccine shot. Now I'm mentally ill. I don't have any physical diseases. I'm just mentally ill. I think I have physical disease.
Well, they just said it wasn't from the vaccine. It's just a new disease that kind of just spontaneously occurred. See,
but an interesting coincidence then.
Oh, yes. And Dr. Morris was asked, you know, well, why do they give vaccines at all if they're so damaging, they have no benefit? He said, well, he says, even Dr. Mercola says the same thing, that the vaccines are a top priority because they cause a weakening of the immune system. And why more people don't speak out is, you know, there's a variety of things. People want to keep their jobs. They don't want to be harassed by the medical cartel that can influence other areas of government like your IRS and your CIA and FBI and so forth and so on. So the medical cartel at the highest level, according to Dr. Morris, he says is not out to help people. It's out to harm them, to weaken them. He said to kill them. He went there.
You've heard conspiracy theories for some time, and even as recently as the Ebola problem in Africa. People in Africa are concerned that they're getting Ebola because they were given vaccines by the World Health Organization or whoever came over there in the first place. They may be right, they may be wrong. I'm not saying that the conspiracy theory is true. But one thing about it is if you can persuade people to inject things into their body whenever the government says this is a good idea, it puts the government in a position where they can control what's in that vaccine and who knows what you're going to get.
Absolutely.
I mean, it might be that they're going to help you this year, but next year maybe we don't need you so much.
Here's something I want to sneak in before we have to leave here. For people that, you know, have grandchildren and children that are really worried about these, you know, mandatory vaccines, and even some medical workers that have to, you know, succumb to flu shots to keep their job, Dr. Rebecca Carley has a free download on her website at Reversing Vaccine-Induced Diseases. It's called the Physician's Warranty of Vaccine Safety Form. And basically what it is if a doctor is pressuring you to get a vaccine or have your child vaccinated, have them sign this form, which says they list the child's name or the patient's name, and they guarantee the safety of this patient, that this treatment is not going to hurt them in any way, shape, or form, and they waive their protective rights. No doctor's going to sign it.
No, I understand.
Yep. No school system's going to sign it, see?
Yep.
So they know there's a chance it could harm you.
Yeah.
See? So a lot of times that alleviates a lot of pressure. The doctors, you know, won't call social services on a parent and stuff. And there's no problem. I don't mind getting the vaccine as long as the doctor can assure me legally, in no uncertain terms, it's beneficial and won't harm. And if he won't sign it, then I'm going to assume there's a chance it could harm my child. So I have fiduciary responsibility to protect the best interest of my child. So therefore, no vaccine.
I understand.
There you go. But also we have we have immune boosting and pandemic kits and all kinds of neat stuff on thepowerherbs.com. It's flu season through March 1st, so it's not too late to get your empowering immune boosting stuff at thepowerherbs.com.
Well, you can't go just yet. We still have another 45 seconds.
Awesome.
So.
Well, hey, we got
it. Awesome.
We have a new product catalog. Woohoo! It's the 15th anniversary product catalog at Apothecary Herbs in just hot off the press. And you can call or email or snail mail a request for a product catalog. Our toll-free number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Or you can even download the PDF version of the catalog off the website at thepowerherbs.com. It's bigger than last year, so it takes a little while to download.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. We are out of time now. And I want to thank you for being here. Look forward to talking to you next week. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Give her a call. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hey folks, I'm Alfred Addis, Karen Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners we're going to continue the Mint State 61 $20 Liberty Gold piece and terrific buys at this low price, only $80 over a melt value modern issue gold coin, gold bullion coin. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Since we had gold down a little bit, I'll adjust the prices on these today. $1,361. $1,361. And these are certified by NGC or PCGS. And visit our website at DGScoins.com. DGScoins for discount. GoldSilverCoins.com. And just making an announcement for the radio archives and listening to the program from our website. We're having some issues with the, I don't know what you want to call it, the connector,
the ankle bone connected to the leg bone.
Yeah. The server, I should say, the server that plays these programs so that you can listen live. We're having a little bit of problems with that. We're working on that, so hopefully that will all be fixed by tomorrow. That is the goal. So I want to appreciate everyone who notified us of this problem, because it's important that you do so.
All right. We've got a report here from Richard Russell, who is sometimes called the King of Metals. He's been in the gold business for, student of the gold business for, I don't know, 40, 50 years. I'm not sure how long he's been around it. But he's last Monday, He wrote, gold is trading at 1204. Up 1490 for the day. Even his friend Dennis Gutman's beginning to turn bullish on gold in dollar terms. And, you know, first off, what does he mean turn bullish on gold in dollar terms? He means that gold has been rising around the world in terms of virtually all currencies other than dollars. All right, it's up 73%. The price of gold is up 73% in Russia right now. That's a reflection of the trouble Russia's been having with its currency and the inflation that's going on there. But gold is up around the world except here in the United States. Why? Because the dollar's value has increased dramatically over the course of the last 6 months. We've gone into an episode of deflation. Well, and some people are beginning to think that they're beginning to recognize that maybe gold is starting to turn bullish. He says that his friend Dennis Gardner produced a chart showing three ascending bottoms in November, December, and January. And that what that means is we have a low in November, and the monthly low for December is higher. It's down low. It's been higher, and then it fell down. They had a low in December, but the low in December was higher than the low in November. And January's low, although, you know, we have a low again in January, but it's higher than the low for December. And that's significant to people who study charts. Now, I don't put a lot of faith in charts because the numbers are manipulated and the prices are suppressed. And, you know, what can you gain out of charts from that? Nevertheless, they are impressed that price of gold appears to be rising, and they think maybe we're restoring the bull market to some degree. And yesterday, Richard Russell, again, king of metals, he says the cat is out of the bag. Gold signaled it. He said, as I write 45 minutes before the close, gold is selling at 1218. The whole universe of gold is trading higher. Obviously, something is happening. The big in-the-know money is reaching for gold and gold miners. China has quietly been building its hoard of gold. I think China is ready to release a gold-backed yuan. What do you think, Melody? It's possible. I'll believe it when I see it. I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
I don't buy gold, and I'm not a believer of gold because I think China is ready to release a gold-backed currency.
You mean that's not your underlying rationale?
No.
But if they do, it's more evidence. If they do, the price of gold will go up. All right. China has joined with Russia. This, again, according to Russell. China has joined with Russell to defeat the dollar as the world's reserve currency. That's probably true. Certain a little bit of debate on that, but that's probably true. China's sick of the fiat dollar. China, patient for years, now intends to be the world's leading power. China knows history and knows that the nation with the largest hoard of gold is the world leader. Now, that's interesting. It's interesting from this perspective. If China knows that the nation with the most gold is the world leader, then you can kind of draw a parallel that of the people who live on your block, whoever has the most gold is the block leader. Now, that's a little bit of a silly comment, but there's some truth to that. It's more evidence that gold is one of the things you want if you want to lead. Russia, now brought to its knees by the collapsing world price of oil, has decided to link up with China in their dual campaign to remove the U.S. as the world's leading power. And that's interesting. It's interesting because Russia's taking all the heat right now. But if this is true, it indicates that China's kind of just sneaking around, keeping a low profile. They're not going to openly antagonize the United States. They're letting Russia, here, why don't you and them fight? All right, meaning Russia, why don't Russia and the United States, why don't you guys fight? We'll kind of sit over here and be quiet. But it's entirely possible and perhaps probable that Russia has linked up with China in a way to try to get at the U.S. dollar. Russell continues, he says, my advice is to take a position in gold. The value of trillions of U.S. dollars is about to be reset. And when that value is reset, he means the dollar will become worth less. This will be the news story of the decade, and it should produce convulsions in the stock and bond markets. But it should produce a significant increase in your perceived wealth if you're holding on to gold. The dollar is going to be, there's going to be a reset. It's not going to be reset dramatically higher. It'll be reset dramatically lower. That means the price of gold will rise. I believe we are looking at the early death of fiat money. As I've said many times before, gold will be the last man standing. You can still buy physical gold. If you can, trade in your fiat dollars for real constitutional money. I believe a new gold rush is just beginning. Obviously, big money, smart money knows that something is afoot. We talked a little bit along those lines yesterday. We were talking about one of the authors of another newsletter. They pointed out that strange things are happening, and they even thought that something had broken, perhaps last Friday, and weren't sure what it was. But there is a sense, at least in some quarters, that things are changing. Something dramatic is happening right now. It's happening behind the scenes. But some people think something extraordinary may be happening right now, and we may not fully appreciate it for another month or two or six, who knows? But maybe we are at the edge of something happening dramatically. Are we at the edge of something happening dramatically, Melody, or is there these just conspiracy theories?
I don't think you can have the continued stress from the various parts around the world in various markets and areas and not have some sort of an impact somewhere along the line. And I do believe the system is already broken. And I believe what we're experiencing in various parts of the world, our economies and oil pricing and even the rise in our dollar, the rates, the yields on the bonds, I mean, there isn't anything that truly is
strong.
Properly functioning.
Strong.
Or strong. They're not properly functioning. And I do believe that we're on the verge of something. But
it seems like it's right here, but back
at the same thing. We don't know when. I mean, we're closer. And, I was talking to someone today. We're talking, what do you think is going to be the one thing that brings the House of Cards down? Well, what brought the House of Cards down is our fiat currency. You know, that was the initial start of it. And, I think it's going to be something that when it happens, we're going to think, darn, I wasn't expecting that, because it'll be something from left field that, perhaps we knew about.
It will be perceived as something from left field. It'll be perceived, the trigger will be coming out of left field. It'll be that black swan that starts the dominoes falling. But the question, the big question,
is who
set the dominoes up in the first place?
We know what all those dominoes are and how they'll fall. We just don't know what that first one is.
Well, that's exactly right. But the first one is what will be blamed.
Mm-hmm.
And what won't be blamed are the people responsible for setting up a string of dominoes in the first place. You know, something's going to happen. It might be something happening because of the Russian problem, right? And they'll say, oh, the Russians did it. No, it's not the Russians who did it. They might have triggered it, but they didn't do it. Somebody else spread all the gunpowder out on the floor. Why is all that gunpowder? Why is all that flammable material laying on the floor? Exposed to a spark. Russia might fire the spark, but who put the gunpowder down there? And the answer is our government. They're the ones that gave us, despite the Constitution, which says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin, a tender in payment of debt, still up there. Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1, still on the Constitution. Nobody's paying any attention to it. Why is that? It's not because of it's not my fault. It's not Melody's fault. It's the fault of the government. They just said, well, we don't have to listen to the Constitution. And that's where this started up. They said, well, we don't need to listen to that. We're so smart, we can get away. And we don't even have to amend the Constitution. We don't have to ask the American people if they'd like to deal in a currency other than gold and silver. Because we're really smart here in Washington.
Well, you know, the Federal Reserve today, they released the minutes back from the meeting back in December on the 16th and 17th. That was released today. Another reason why the market was so strong today. But it's had a couple days of big hits. So, you know, you did expect it to come back a little bit. But it was a little bit more than just a little bit. But you add these minutes in there. And what's interesting about this report, it says that, you know, when you think about it, you had the Fed who ended its third round of bond buying back in, October. And this is their third round of buying. And these bonds boosted the Fed's investment holdings to close to $4.5 trillion. That's more than four times the level when the financial crisis hit in the fall of 2008. Now, four times the level. This is what your stock market is built on. You know, this is, I mean, that's incredible. In just those few years, how much they had to put into these markets, had to put into purchasing of the bonds in order to keep this system going. Now, tell me the system isn't broke.
Well, the other point is to say they put $4 trillion or the best part of $4 trillion into this market by purchasing these bonds ignores one important point. They're not purchasing real assets. What they did was buy a bunch of toxic assets, which was code for pieces of paper that had become worthless. And in order, if they had to admit that the paper was worthless, it would have collapsed the system. So they said, I tell you what, we'll pay you $3.5 trillion for all this worthless paper, and we'll just store it over here in the Federal Reserve's vault. But they could just as easily store it in the Federal Reserve's trash bucket. All right. They bought a. They paid too much. They paid $3.5 trillion for this, and the real value of the bonds that they purchased, who knows? It might be $1 trillion. It might be $2 trillion. But the Fed knowingly bought toxic assets and paid basically full price for them, which is just stupid. That's like buying a house after it's burned down. And paying full price. Yesterday, the house was for sale for $250,000. Last night, it burned to the ground, and here's somebody who's going to buy it and pay a full $250,000 for the burned-out wreck.
But they needed to buy those bonds. I mean, sure. That was the point.
Yeah, they had to get them.
It was the necessity to buy those bonds, and that's what kept the whole system together.
I agree, but again, they're sitting on $4.5 trillion in assets.
It's a private corporation.
And they claim assets, but they are... In fact, a bunch of it's just junk, and the stock market is built on the junk.
Yep.
That's the implication.
There's the House passed a bill today to renew terror insurance. And what's interesting about this, we probably don't have time to do the whole thing, but I'll go ahead and start it. They passed this legislation today to renew the federal program that props up the private market for insurance against terrorist attacks. And it was a big sweep, 416-5 vote, and this revived the government's terrorism risk insurance program. And what is it? It provides a backstop in which the government steps in to cover the bulk of losses in the event of a major terrorist attack. Now, my question is, why as a taxpayer do we have to provide, you know, and pay for any losses in the event of a major terrorist attack? This guarantee has made private companies more willing to underwrite policies against terrorist attacks. Now, you know, they're collecting all these premiums. You know, they underwrite these policies. They collect all these premiums. And, you know, they go out and, you know, they invest and so forth. Well, that's not what I wanted to get into. The legislation passed last month. Let me get to the point.
Save the point because we've got 10 seconds until we take our break, and we can start with the point after we get done with the break.
Very good.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Melody was going to make a point about the new and improved insurance programs being provided by your government to insure. I don't know who the beneficiaries of these insurance policies are, but Melody, I think you'll get to that in a moment, against insurance policies against terrorist attacks.
The legislation is important to some economic sectors such as construction. You get that, real estate, hospitality, major sports leagues, which fear crippling insurance costs if the program expires and rates skyrocket or the market for terrorism insurance collapses altogether. It's like, you know, all of these industries have, you know, they make billions of dollars.
And they can't pay for it out of their own profits.
And
it's right that they throw the bill on the back of the taxpayer who right now might not even have a job. You know, this is a little bit arson. Some people used to call arson Jewish lightning, and now we're going to have terrorist lightning, where if somebody decides to knock a place down, they say, oh, the terrorists did it.
The terrorists.
Give me some money.
Well, I mean, we saw that. We saw that in New York where he said, pull it for that third building to go down.
You know, half the people in the country think 9/11 was a government job.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? I don't know who's right or wrong, but it's not abundantly clear that the Muslims were really responsible for 9/11. We had what was apparently a terrorist job. A lot of people think, no, it was a government job. Now, if it was a government job, what's to say when we should provide, the taxpayers should provide insurance against another government false flag operation? You know, some of this stuff just goes, you know, if we thought we could trust the government, it would be a different thing. How many people do you suppose there are in the audience right now, Melody? What percentage do you think really believe that we can trust the government?
Our audience. Very few.
Not many. It wouldn't be a big percentage. Certainly wouldn't be a majority. All right? And it might be as little as 10%. Do you trust the government? You know, and for what it's worth, that's not a radical question. The founding fathers didn't trust the government. That's why they gave us a constitution with three separate departments of governments and checks and balances and a Bill of Rights. And it was all intended to protect us, the people of the United States of America, against them, the federal government. That's not news. I mean, from the founding fathers' perspective, you got to be crazy to trust the government. And we've forgotten that. People are sitting around, oh, yeah, we could trust the government. Well, at least we've gone through a couple of generations of that attitude. And I think it's becoming clear again, no, we can't. And it's not just a conspiracy theory. There's more than a little reason to sit back and say, you can't trust these people. Are you crazy? And they're going to give you, they're going to let you pay the bill? I mean, if the government was really concerned about terrorism,
close the borders.
That would be one good point.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of simply putting the liability for one of these adverse events on the backs of the taxpayers, why don't you go ahead and close the border? All right? And then these people might not have to fear, the ones running the sports stadiums and whatever, might not have to fear exorbitant insurance costs.
Well, this goes on. It says the measure also includes unrelated legislation that seeks to protect businesses that use financial instruments, and we all know what those financial instruments are, derivatives, to hedge risk from being subjected to costly margin requirements under the new Dodd-Frank regulations. Those businesses, that includes farmers, ranchers, airlines, manufacturers, they're already protected under the terms of the law and follow-up regulations, but such end users of derivatives are concerned. Oh, we don't want to get burned, so now that they could get snared by future regulations. So, hey, let's just protect everyone at the cost.
No, we're not going to protect everyone, Melody. We're going to protect the people who already make enough money where they can afford to bribe congressmen and senators and presidents. Those are the ones who are going to be protected. And who's not going to be protected? All the chumps who pay taxes and are lucky to have, if they even have a job, that are living hand to mouth. They won't be protected. The ones who can bribe Congress will be protected. You talk about derivatives as financial instruments. Right? Now, some people may not.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Well, I'm just thinking they are kind of like the medical instrument that's used when they perform a colonoscopy. All right? There's a certain similarity between the derivatives and whatever they use to perform colonoscopies. They're not just financial instruments. They're hustles. They're cons. They are some gimmick where people have made huge profits, and now they're on the hook for possible liabilities, and they don't want to pay. They were essentially hedging devices. They essentially said, look, if the world comes to an end, I promise to give you $50 million. All right? And now they're getting close to a point, say, oh, my gosh, you know, the world might be coming to an end. I may have to cough up 50 grand, 50 million. I don't want to. Let's get the government here. Let's buy a couple of congressmen, a couple of senators. We'll get the government to pass a law that will allow us to skate, and they'll get the $50 million. If anybody needs that $50 million, they get it from the taxpayers who receive no benefit from this to begin with, but will assume the liability if it goes south.
What I want to know, if one of these things, if it would happen, where's the government going to get? I mean, this country is broke.
Yeah, I know.
Even our FDIC doesn't cover our checking accounts, our personal accounts. They don't have enough in there to cover any of these accounts. So
yep.
Where's the government? You know, it's just.
They're not going to get it. The whole thing is illusion.
Get what they can, because you also know there's trillions and trillions of dollars that are sitting there in pension funds. So that is in bank accounts. That is up for grabs.
Yep.
So
those are for bail-ins for banks, for example. Passed new legislation where they can take the money out of your bank account and use it to support the bank if the bank becomes insolvent. Nobody has to be responsible except for the taxpayers. All right? Who don't get any benefit. If they make profits, yay, the banks get to keep the profits for themselves. And if they lose money, then the taxpayers have to cough up the difference. It's absurd. It's wrong. It's immoral. It's unethical. And it's evidence of a corrupt government. way it runs is if you have a problem, you've got to be held responsible for your own problem. We can't hold someone else responsible for your problem. And increasingly, that's what happens, although it's only serving the problem. Again, it's the wealthy. If you can, you got enough money to bribe, to hire lobbyists, to bribe your congressman, fine, we can pass a law to protect you. But in the end, if we really have a serious problem, no one is actually going to pay. A serious problem that really did collapse the economy or did significant damage to the economy would render the taxpayers unable to pay. I've argued this for probably 4 or 5 years now. What can't be paid won't be paid. It's evidence that we have too much debt in this country, so much debt that it can never actually be paid in a worst, in even, I mean, the national debt, it'll never be paid. It can't be paid in full. It won't happen. And eventually we're going to reach a moment where we're going to realize that the total debt, we may, the derivatives may go south. And they're going to say, okay, get them, all you taxpayers line up. And the taxpayers are going to say, we aren't going to line up. We're not going to pay it. That's all. You're not going to get it out of us. We don't have it. Even if we did, we wouldn't give it to you. They won't be able to pay on the derivatives. And now we get that domino thing running. And next thing you know, we have debt collapsing around the country and even around the world. That means not merely that people won't pay their debts, but people that are holding debt instruments won't be paid. All you've got, said it a bunch of times on this program, you got a piece of paper, you have a promise to pay. In a world where most of the promises can't be kept. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, keep hitting it, hitting it. You want a payment, not a promise to pay. A payment is something tangible, something physical. Paper is just a promise to pay. It's not a real asset. You want to save your wealth in something that's not exposed to some sort of a debt collapse, which could be precipitated by derivatives going south or, who knows, some sort of a terrorist act, or God knows what it's going to be. If you want to protect yourself, you take your wealth and whatever you've got stored currently in paper and you move it into something tangible like gold or silver. Right? Now, if the debt collapses, and it's going to sooner or later, God, I don't know when, but it's going to happen sooner or later. When the debt all goes south, you're still going to have wealth. You're going to be one of the people who is in a position to invest, and I guarantee you, people will be calling on you. They'll be catering to your every whim. Say, gee, could we borrow some of that gold to rebuild a little factory, a little house, whatever? And if you've got some, you will be, you know, you'll be among the wealthy people in this country because you'll have real wealth. If you don't have any gold, paper goes up, debts implode. You're going to be scratching in garbage cans like virtually everyone else looking for something to eat.
I just wanted to touch on this one more thing in front of what happened in France today. And what's interesting, I think, Al, is the way you hear so many of these leaders really downplay the story as far as what the true problem is. And, of course, I'm talking about the 12 that were killed in Paris, a magazine who ran cartoons, Muhammad cartoons. I believe their offices were bombed several years ago, arson. And today there was 2 to 3 gunmen, I guess, went in there and killed 12 in Paris. And Obama comes out, our White House questions the magazine's judgment of running these cartoons, almost like saying they asked for it. You have the French president who is basically, I mean, they have 5 million, I believe, Muslims in their country. And so he's sort of downplaying as far as the problem that they have. And only one, Marine Le Pen, she came out and she did make a, you know, it's time to, you know, it's time to no longer be politically correct. It's time's up for the denial and hypocrisy that is going on. And I watched some programs earlier today on the same situation. It's this political correctness. I mean, it's time that we say what it is and the problems. And there's rumors. Well, not rumors.
How come the Muslims don't have to be politically correct, Mother?
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
You know, they don't have to put up with us. Why do we have to put up with them?
That.
Politically correct means we need to give up our culture in order to tolerate someone else's culture. Let them go. They like their culture so much. Let them move back to Iraq or Afghanistan or Syria. Go enjoy the good life over there. You know, you don't want to be around here around all these Christians, for God's sake. You don't want to emulate their culture. Go enjoy the good life over in the Middle East. Nobody wants to be there, but they don't understand that they carry the disease that's endemic in the Middle East. They bring it here. And then they want to sit back and say, what this country needs is more Muslims. The reason the Middle East is screwed up is because it's overrun by Muslims, and Europe is getting a dose of the same thing. Talk about French. Yeah. Welcome to the, the Casbah.
And also... anything else you'd like to add to that, Al?
Well, not exactly, but it's evidence.
Yeah.
We are coming to a point where people around the world are no longer going to be able to be politically correct. Government's been able to buy political correctness by handing out free lunches here, there, and around, but government's running out of the money. And as they lose their ability to bribe us with free lunches or whatever, promises of fat pensions and early retirement and who knows what else, as they run out of their ability to provide these free goodies, they're going to see political correctness just go out the window. It's going to disappear, and people are going to say, look, here's the deal. What do you got for me? All right? I don't care who you are, you'd better be productive. And if you're not productive, go away. If you're going to starve, too bad for you. We're coming to a time when the world is becoming will become more fierce, less kind, less inclined to tell lies, less inclined to tell lies, perhaps, but less inclined to accept them. And it's not going to be an easy situation. We're going to see the culture that we are used to. It's going to change. In the midst of significant poverty, we will see changes that a lot of people aren't going to like or enjoy. And those of us who are prepared for that, as best you can be prepared, we will tend to prosper. And those who aren't are going to scream. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back mañana. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.